The Final Four is set, and it's filled with unbelievable, remarkable, unexplainable storylines. So how does that parallel the story of Jesus? Let's unpack it. Welcome to the Unpacking It podcast, where we unpack parallels, metaphors, and topics in sports that relate to life and faith. I'm Bryce Johnson in Charlotte, North Carolina, joined today by my guest co-host, Joby Thomas. We'll say hello to him in just a moment. On today's episode, we are unpacking the Final Four and the storylines surrounding these teams that make you go, what? Really? How can that be? Unbelievable storylines. And so we're going to have a lot of fun talking about each team today in the men's Final Four. And then we'll talk about the parallel to our own lives and the story of Jesus. And so thanks to everybody watching on YouTube or on social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. Glad to have you with us. Be sure to leave comments and likes and let us know that you're a part of the show today. We always appreciate that. Thanks to all of you that listen to the podcast as well. Apple, Spotify. We appreciate when you rate and review. That helps us out a lot as well. You can always email me, Bryce@unpackingit.com. And be sure to check out our website, unpackingit.com. And while you're there, you can subscribe to the devotional. It goes out Monday, Wednesday, Friday, directly to your email inbox. Sign up for free on unpackingit.com. So we've been doing the bracket challenge the last couple of weeks, and so we appreciate all the support and the participation around the Unpacking It Bracket Challenge. Shout out to David Crow, who's leading the challenge right now. He's got Connecticut winning it all and Purdue as the runner-up. So we'll see. So he had Alabama in his Final Four, did not have NC State. So congrats to him. And then shout out to Ray Hardy, who has been a guest co-host on this show. He's leading our Sweet 16 second chance bracket. And so he had Connecticut, NC State, and Purdue in his Final Four after the Sweet 16 began, right before it began, I guess. So there you go. Thanks to all the support there. But let's say hello to today's guest. So Joby Thomas, he graduated with a degree in communication from the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, where he was also a star on the basketball team. He still holds the record for career three-pointers made. After college, he moved on to the professional ranks, where he enjoyed a successful 13-year career in Europe, played in Italy and Portugal, and he's happily married to his wife, Kristen. They've got three kids. He also does color commentary for UNC Charlotte's men's basketball team on ESPN+ for those home games. And he's a realtor in Charlotte. He's done preaching, speaking over the years, and has just launched a new podcast called The Layups and Gimmies Podcast. So be sure to check that out. But let's say hello to my friend, Joby Thomas, coming to you from Charlotte. Joby, great to see you, man. How you doing?
Doing well, Bryce. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Absolutely. Well, we're psyched to have you, especially talking college basketball with a former college basketball player. And so the Final Four is set. And I just, throughout the weekend, as each team was entering the Final Four, I was just blown away by how remarkable the stories are and how each of them, there's just an element to their story that's just, it's hard to wrap your mind around. And so I want to talk kind of through each team, but I'll let you start. Which of these four teams is kind of the hardest to believe or just, you know, grasp that they are in this Final Four?
Well, March Madness delivers yet again, right? Just when we think it can't get any better each year, you know, this year I'm thinking this is going to be a chalk Final Four. Most of these teams that are 1-2 seeds are the better teams. And then you've got an 11 seed in NC State making an incredible run. To me, NC State has to be that team, right? Not just because of their seeding in the tournament, but just the run they're on from the ACC tournament win into, you know, the Final Four now. It's just remarkable. And on paper, you look at them, They just don't look like they should be here, and they continue to surprise. So hard to bet against them, a team with confidence, who's motivated. They just know how to win right now, and they're a scary team to play.
Well, and so I was looking back yesterday on the season that DJ Burns has had. And in the tournament, he has dominated. Duke couldn't stop him. Couldn't stop him in the ACC tournament. I'm a Duke fan. Couldn't stop him on Sunday. And so he's been remarkable. But the crazy thing is, his season was okay. I think he averaged like 13 points. You know, it was fine. But I was going through, I was like, he never even scored more than 20 points. And then all of a sudden, the tournament begins, and he's dominating. And so that part of it is crazy. Then what also makes you go, wait, how can this be? A team that was 10th in the ACC, one, gets hot, just hot enough for a weekend to win the ACC tournament. And then for that run to continue into the NCAA tournament, and you're like, all right, we'll give you the first weekend. No. The magic, the momentum, whatever, continues into another weekend, and now we're talking about them being in the Final Four. How can it be? That's the question today. How can it be? So, and then not to mention Kevin Keats. You're talking about a coach who was on the hot seat, and now all of a sudden he's locked in. He's a hero. He's brought NC State back to the Final Four.
Yeah, it's been remarkable, and you know, hats off to Coach Keats. And sometimes it's, as a coach, just get out of the way, right? Let your guys play with confidence, play free. And you know, one of the things I've noticed, Bryce, is if you watch NC State play, they're laughing, they're smiling, they don't seem to be overwhelmed by the moment. And freedom in sports, as you know, it makes all the difference when you can play relaxed, free, not focus on the outcome, but just letting yourselves do what you've trained to do. And they are having a blast doing it. And like I said, man, I would not want to play them right now.
No, they've just clicked in a remarkable way. And you think too, you know, just the fact that they are the 11th seed. And so, you know, in years past, we saw George Mason, VCU, Loyola Chicago, even UCLA was an 11th seed back in 2021. And so, you know, you just put them in that category, and it's like, man, that, are you kidding me? Like that's wild as well. And then, you know, to beat, you know, a legit Duke team, Duke had some question marks this year, but beat them twice along the way. You beat UNC along the way in the ACC tournament, and then Marquette too. So the craziest story, of course, is the NC State story. But then we got to talk about Purdue and how they've ended up here. And I filled out my bracket, and I did pick Purdue to win it all. And it was one of those things because I wanted to see the storyline. I was like, man, could they actually do what Virginia did? Exactly. You're talking about a team that last year loses to a 16 seed, Fairleigh Dickinson. I mean, is that a real school? So they lose to them, and then to actually, you know, get things back together, overcome the pain of that loss, to then find themselves now in the Final Four with a chance to do what Virginia did. Again, you got to be kidding me that we're seeing this play out again. The same team that loses to a 16 seed with Zach Edey now back in the mix, and well, really for the first time in a long time, back in the mix in the Final Four.
Yeah, it's you know, just as I said with NC State, the mental side of the game, I mean, it applies for Purdue as well. How do you mentally overcome losing as a one seed to a 16? Just a year ago, a lot of the same key players back, same coach. And to overcome that, I think getting through those first two games, really the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, was huge for them. Kind of got the monkey off their back, so to speak. And then now, another team, very dangerous, very capable of winning. I picked them to make the final but lose to UConn. UConn, to me, has just been hands down, start to finish, the most consistent team. But I tell you what, that matchup with Edey and Klingon, potentially big man against big man. Edey's hands down, in my opinion, the best college basketball player right now. He is a difference maker. Huge game, of course, coming off 40 points, 16 rebounds in the Elite Eight. But what a storyline for Purdue as well. How can that be?
How can that be? Absolutely. And then I think even pulling back to a bigger view of college basketball, how can it be that we're seeing all these big men carry their teams through the Final Four? Where, you know, oftentimes we'll talk about, you know, guard play or 3-point shooting that carries teams to the Final Four, And we're talking about DJ Burns, who's even getting the rumors around, wait, could he go to the NFL? And he's so big. What would that look like? And then Zach Edey, you know, 7'4", 300 pounds. How can that be? One. And then he's going to go up against DJ Burns. So that's going to be a fascinating matchup for sure. So let's go to then the other side of the bracket and the Alabama story. How can this be that last year, Alabama, which is a football school, they were the number one overall seed last year. Remember that? And then they had Brandon Miller, one of the best players in the country, arguably the best player last year in the country. They lose in the Sweet 16. Brandon Miller then leaves, goes to the NBA, has a nice season here for our Charlotte Hornets, landed a good pick finally, which is nice. That's a side note. So Brandon Miller leaves. Well, then Alabama comes back this year. They're a four seed in the tournament. They add a transfer from North Dakota State, Grant Nelson, the mustache man, and he's the guy that helps, you know, really get this team going. And they got a number of players on Alabama that are studs, but he's sort of the guy that in many ways replaced Brandon Miller. How can it be that they're the ones now going to the Final Four with this team? So what jumps out to you with this Alabama story?
Well, I'll tell you what, something similar to what I said with Purdue and NC State, really, playing with freedom. It's so different playing when you're supposed to win versus the expectations not being as high. Look at Purdue last year, all the pressure in the world, right? Now, again, they're a number one seed again this year, but they've been there. They've experienced that. And then Alabama, number one seed last year, all the expectations, arguably the best player in the country in Brandon Miller, who you mentioned. And they don't deliver. This year, no one's expecting them to make a run. They get high at the right time. And I tell you what, momentum, they've had great guard play, great balance as well on the interior. You mentioned, the transfers and players that have come in. But what about Nate Oates? I mean, think about him as a coach. He's done a remarkable job keeping this team focused, composed. And I think about his story even. How can it be that, you know, under 10 years ago, this guy's coaching at a high school level, and now he's leading a team to the Final Four in Alabama. So great story.
And I think Kevin Keats was doing – he was coaching high school like a decade ago or so too. So a little over that. But yeah, no, that's remarkable as well. And then the connection that Nate Oates – so he was at Buffalo when Bobby Hurley was the coach of Buffalo. So Bobby Hurley gets the coach the job at Arizona State. Then Nate Oates gets the job at Buffalo, and now Nate Oates is going up against Dan Hurley, Bobby's brother, in the Final Four. So throw that into the mix as well. And speaking of Dan Hurley and UConn, so as a Duke fan, I don't like UConn. UConn always seems to have Duke's number. But the way Dan Hurley coaches, I respect it. I love it. I've been watching him in interviews, and the way he explains just his philosophies and strategies – I really buy into it. I like a lot of what he does, and so I can't help but respect him. But here's the question or wrap my mind around. Okay, UConn was the national champion last year. So them getting back, not outrageous, but we rarely see repeats, right? It was back at Florida. When I was in college, I remember that, 2007, 2006 era when Florida won back-to-back with Joakim Noah. So we haven't seen that since. So here's UConn making this run. And you talk about, it's how hard it is when the bullseye's on your back. Well, UConn has had that. And so not only are they just getting through the tournament, they are blowing people away. And I can't wrap my mind around a 30-0 run in the Elite Eight against a very solid Illinois team. 30-0? Joby, I don't get it. How is this possible?
I don't know either, Bryce. That was incredible. Never seen anything like it. They are so well balanced, and they defend their system. You mentioned Coach Hurley. That's why I picked them to win it. Obviously, they have great talent. They've got a great mixture of guard play. Donovan Klingon on the interior, one of the best big men in the country as well. But their system, you do not speed them up or change the way they play. They're so unselfish. They share the basketball. They don't play any hero ball. You really don't know what player offensively on any given night is going to have a big game. It could be Newton at the point guard position, clinging on the interior, Spencer shooting the ball, just so many different weapons. and they will lock you down and defend. So, I mean, Coach Hurley, you've got to give him credit. I was not a Duke fan growing up. I was a Carolina fan. So never the Hurleys were never, you know, beloved by me personally, but I respect him. I don't know him personally, but I know what he's doing is remarkable, and just huge amount of respect for what he's building there at UConn.
Oh, he's building a powerhouse. And then the other thing you scratch your head about, wait, they lost three guys to the NBA. So yes, they returned a bunch of players from last year's national championship, but they also lost three guys to the NBA, and now they're back in the Final Four. So, and then throw in the stat that they've now won 10 straight games by double digits in the NCAA tournament. So they're blowing people away. I have to admit, I really haven't watched them this year, because every time you turn the game on, or this tournament, because you turn the game on, it's a blowout. Why am I going to sit and watch a blowout? So that's been the wild part of it too for me. It's like, man, they get up and then they say, see you later. Just absolutely
outside of their conference, they really haven't lost many games over the last couple of years. I don't have the stat specifically, but I think it's one game, non-conference. I mean, in conference, you expect it's tough. You're playing, teams know you. You're playing home and away, scouting you really well. But man, when you've got 2 days or a week even to prepare for them and hadn't played them all season long, good luck.
Yeah, they're clearly the favorites to win. There's no doubt about it. But as we know, injuries happen. You know, Houston loses their top guy, Shed, and then Duke's able to win that game. So you never know what happens each game. But yes, UConn, they should win this whole thing. But it's gonna be fun this weekend. I can't wait. And so the bottom line for us today is that each of these stories, as we talked about all these teams, you heard it. There's so much that's hard to grasp. And you're like, wait, is this real? Is this true? Is this really happening? And you know, so much of it is unexpected or unexplainable or unbelievable. And as hard as it is to imagine that this is the Final Four and these are the stories that got them there, this is reality. This is the truth of the Final Four. And you know, we don't have to fully understand how or explain, you know, why it turned out, you know, this way for these teams to embrace how amazing it is. And it almost, that's what leads us to the amazement of this Final Four, because so much doesn't make sense. And it's like, wait, this isn't what is supposed to happen based on logic or reasoning or my own sports knowledge. You know, it's like, no, this is what has happened. This is what has unfolded. And now we get to enjoy it and be in awe of this wonderful tournament and this unexplainable Final Four. And so in life, and from a spiritual standpoint, as we consider the story of Jesus, just came off of Easter, everybody's thinking about Jesus, thinking about the resurrection, and you think about his life, his death, his resurrection, and a similar reaction to what we were just talking about from a college basketball standpoint. How can that be? How can it be that Jesus was fully God and fully man, and he lived a perfect life, that he predicted his life? Or his death, I should say, that he predicted his death. And then he willingly sticks to God's plan of redemption, where he asks God, please, is there another way? But not my will, but your will be done. And he goes to the cross. He knows what that means, that he's going to die and pay the punishment for you and I. And so he was willing to do that. And then, you know, he predicted he's coming back too. So he came back to life on the third day. And made a way for you and I to be forgiven, to have eternal life. And oftentimes it's like, wait, are you kidding me? Really? This is true? And then you take it a step further and you go, you try to wrap your mind around this, that I know how sinful I am, yet God still shows me grace through Jesus, that's the truth of the gospel. And so we consider the story of Jesus, and so much of it is, it's just hard to imagine that God loves us so much that he would send his only son to die for me, for you. But that's the truth. That's the reality. That's the evidence of scripture. That's the evidence as you look around that's a remarkable God built this universe, built this, you know, created you and me, and that he wanted us to know him, to fellowship with him, to enjoy him. And yes, as we think about how broken we are and how weak and how sinful we are, we go, wait, really? You still love me? You're still going to show me grace? You still died for me? And the answer is yes. And we don't, we can't necessarily wrap our mind around it all, but that's okay, because that's what leads to the awe, the worship, the amazement of our great God that we can't fully understand it all. And that's okay. It doesn't take away from the truth of it. Just because in our limited understanding, we don't understand every detail, or wait, why did God do this? Or how did he do that? We surrender to the truth and the goodness of God and the love of God. And so let me share this verse, and then I want Joby to jump in here. Romans 11, 33 through 34. This is in the Amplified Translation. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and decisions, and how unfathomable," that's hard to say, "unfathomable and untraceable are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" God is above all. He's big and powerful and mighty and wonderful, and it's unfathomable, his plans and his purposes and the redemptive story of Jesus. But man, that's what makes it remarkable. That's what allows us to enjoy him. Just like, oh man, this Final Four is remarkable, but we sit back and enjoy it. It's like, I can't explain how NC State's there. Well, it's the truth. They're in the Final Four. And I can't explain exactly every detail of how this whole story of redemption works. But man, I know that I believe it. I know that God's word has come alive in my life. I know that Jesus has been real in my life. And that's what I cling to. That's why I continue to seek him, follow him, and know him. And so, Joby, let me have you jump in on this as you think about the story of Jesus and just kind of asking the question, man, how can it be? What does that do for you? What does that lead your mind and heart to?
Yeah, I think you hit on the head, Bryce. How can it be is really the story of the Bible. When I think about how can it be that a God who's always existed, had no beginning, has no end, spoke the universe into existence, that we who are, created in his image have sinned against him, that I personally have fallen short of his glory, that I've often for most of my life lived for myself and my own glory, and then for God to, in his grace and his mercy, his kindness, his great love, to come to live the life that I was called to live and didn't, a perfect life, a sinless life, and then to die a death that I deserved, that he didn't. And then for him to raise from the dead the third day and to give me a righteousness, which was not my own, which was his, which I did not deserve. And for him to take on that punishment and satisfy the wrath of God in my place is remarkable. How can that be? And as a result, by grace, now we live and we marvel and seek to honor him in the way we live. And just like this NCAA tournament, that we're blown away at the storylines and how can these things be? We as Christians and those who are seeking God should pause and reflect and think about how could it be that the God of the universe, as big and great as he is, would interact, would come down and love us, just creatures, finite creatures, with a love that's really hard to comprehend, and reveal himself to us. How can that be? That is the story, the message of the Bible, and it's changed my life, and there's no greater news in all the world.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. And no, it's just, it's important that we do reflect on this. And in some ways, I think it's when it comes to unbelief or like, man, it's unbelievable. Like, yeah, like that's what makes it such a powerful story. We can't put God in a little box. What do we want? Some little tiny God that we can understand all about it? No, it's so beyond our comprehension to wrap our mind around the the greatness of God, the goodness of God. And that should actually lead to more awe and gratitude versus, you know, pushing him away or, you know, it's just like if, for the NCAA tournament, this is too unbelievable. I'm not watching. No, it draws you in. Mm-hmm. It pulls you in to go, wait, how is UConn doing this? And so for us, it's wait, how is God working in my life? And how is he revealing himself, you know, to me in scripture? And so we're drawn to him and his word and to the work of the Lord and to want to be a part of what he's doing. And we want to witness, you know, tell others about him, but also witness his work in our life and other people's lives too. So we want to be a part of that. Just like we, you know, I mean, I want to tune into the Final Four because it is unexplainable. It's unbelievable, but that's why I keep watching.
That's right. And there's the essence of faith, really, right? When you think about the Bible saying that faith is being certain of what you hope for, or being, you know, the assurance of things hoped for and the things have not yet seen. So there's this future hope, this expectation that, well, I can't see, I can't know how this is going to end. I don't know how these games are going to play out this weekend. I don't know ultimately how my life is going to unfold. I don't know the number of my own days, but I know who's in control. And I know that God has proven at the cross of Jesus Christ through his life and death and resurrection that he is for me. Even though, as I said, I don't deserve that. And if I know that God is for me, you know, Apostle Paul says, and who can be against me? He who, you know, did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously or freely give us all things, right? It doesn't mean necessarily material things or life's going to go the way I expect it to go. But how could it be that me, a sinful human, could receive the blessings and the assurance and the confidence, that future hope through faith, that, man, this is going to turn out okay. I don't ultimately know that in between. We live in this, you know, this already but not yet, as I call it, right? The already of what God's done for us in Christ, and then the not yet, the future hope that we long for. But this in-between time, we don't know what that's going to look like day to day. There's faith. But we can be confident that that the ending is assured, that the price has been paid, and that joy will be awaiting us. Mm.
Amen. Absolutely. And yes, there are so many, you know, elements of the story of Jesus and then our story that's woven in with him that is hard to understand or it's unexplainable and it's remarkable, right? But the other key, and I want to share this verse, 1 John 5:20, it tells us, and we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. And so we cling to what we do know and what we do understand. And thankfully, God opens up our eyes and our hearts to know him, to see the truth, to grasp his love to the extent that we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I want you. I desire you. And then we trust him with the rest, the things that maybe we don't understand yet. And so there's this humility in God, I don't get it all, but I know I need you. I can't explain it all, but I know I want to be with you. And so there's that humility that we have. And then there is this tension too, as we talk about this topic, we want to know more, right? And so because we want to know more, we really want to know God more. That's the desire of our heart is to know him in a deeper way, a more personal way. And so we experience him more and more. And so because, you know, there's so much to continue to learn and areas of growth, we continue to seek God. We continue to study his word and continue to go to him in prayer. And we do start to understand more. And so our knowledge grows, our wisdom grows, our ability to discern gets stronger, as we talked about a few weeks ago. And so it's not that we, you know, throw up, oh, I don't know, God's too big and I'm never going to understand him. And, you know, just, all right, forget that. No. The unbelievableness of God, right? It's like, man, this is remarkable. It leads us to worship and awe. And then it also draws us to desire to know more. help me know more, help me understand more. And so again, with the parallel to this Final Four, it's like, I want to understand how is NC State doing this? So I'm going to tune in and continue to learn. And so as I've watched them, like you talked about earlier, Joby, you realize, wow, they're playing with such fun. They're playing with such chemistry. They've changed their offense to go through Burns a little bit more. And so you start to understand NC State a little bit more. But in the context of, a few weeks ago, I was like, whoa, it's unexplainable. But then you start to tune in more and more, and you kind of learn as a sports fan. And the same thing for God. It's unbelievable, all his ways and the ways of the redemption story, how it all comes together. And wait, Jesus predicted his own death. And wait, why did the soldiers do this and that? And why didn't the disciples do that? It's all, I don't know. I don't have the answer for all of it, but I see God's hand in it all. And I want to know more. I want to know his love and his grace. And so that's what continues to drive us. So Joby, any final thoughts today?
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned God, we don't ultimately know how things are going to play out, but God has not left us completely to ourselves, right? He's given us a playbook. So each one of these Final Four teams this week, they're studying their opponent. They're watching film. They're putting in strategies. The coaches are reviewing plays, different ways they're going to defend the pick and roll or defend the low post. They've got a playbook, and God's given us a playbook. It's his word, the Bible. It's a lamp for our feet and a light for our path, right? It leads us day to day to know, how do we live? How do we relate to God, to one another? And so we, again, don't know ultimately how things are going to play out on a day-to-day basis, but he's not left us to ourselves. He's given us his word. And so you want to know more about God. You want to understand more of what he asks of us, his love for us. How can this be? Well, you got to read the Bible and investigate for yourselves. And so that'd be my encouragement as we reflect on this Final Four, as we think about how can this be, this amazing storyline. Think about the bigger storyline of the Bible, and how can this be that this great God would love us the way he does?
Amen. And yes, how can this be? And let it lead us to that awe, amazement, that worship, that celebration, the enjoyment of God. Let's not let it's unexplainable. Don't make that push us away or go, it's too hard to understand, I'm out. No. Lean into it. And God will continue to reveal himself more and more. And so the one final parallel to throw in there today too, is when I think about NC State, of course, this is the most remarkable story of all of these four teams. Probably you think back to, wait, they were so bad in the regular season. How could they change? And I think so often in life we go, man, how could that person change? Or how could I change? Right. And so it's like, it's unbelievable. It's unexplainable. Jesus can transform us. Mm-hmm. That who we used to be, that's gone. Like NC State, that regular season team, that team is gone. This is a new team. And so that same hope is available through Christ when he changes us, when he transforms us. I'm not who I used to be. Mm-hmm. And so we have to let go of that disbelief too, of, I'm never going to change. No. Jesus transforms. He changes from the inside out. And so we have to surrender and trust him and allow him to work in our lives and believe that he will do it. And so he can do that in other people's lives too. Don't write anybody off either. Don't just like, I wrote off NC State, and let me apologize to NC State fans. I got called out last week because I just kind of, they're all coming out of the woodwork, which I still stand by, but shout out to the fans and their enjoyment of this. But they're riding a fun journey, but I had to come to grips with, hey, this isn't the same team from the regular season. This is a new NC State team. And that's okay. So there's definitely a parallel there as well. But Joby, man, great insight, great stuff from you. Really appreciate you being a part of the show today. This was fun.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Bryce. Enjoyed it.
Absolutely. He's Joby Thomas. Be sure to check out his new podcast. I love the name too. It's called, you tell me, all right, here it is, the Layups and Gimmies podcast. The That's Layup right. and Gimme's podcast.
Can't miss lessons for long-term success. Shouldn't miss a layup. You shouldn't miss a gimme. So hopefully these are simple, easy, foundational life lessons.
That's cool. So definitely check that podcast out. For Joby, I'm Bryce. Thank you so much for being a part of today's show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'm a sports fan who follows Jesus. I believe in the good news that he died on the cross for my sin. He was resurrected. And through faith, I've been saved by his grace. I hope that is true for you as well. And I hope you'll join me as we live life as sports fans who follow Jesus together. Have a great rest of your day. And we'll talk to you next time right here on the Unpacking It podcast.